Three.
Hello, everybody.
Hey,
Michael,
hey.
Michael V. How you doing, man? What's up?
Hey, man, I heard you went to the Cannabis Cup.
I did went to the Cannabis Cup. I went Saturday to the High Times Cannabis Cup in Santa Rosa.
Nice.
Yeah. That was my first cup ever, dude. I've never been to a cup before.
That sounds cool. I went to the Emerald Cup a few years ago.
Okay, so that's the real deal right there, because that was the last cup that they had before January of 2018. Is that this year? Yeah. And because, of course, in January 2018 in California, everything changed with the welcoming, if you will, if that's the right word to use, of a legal recreational. The last High Times Cannabis Cup that was in California was this year, 2018, but it was a few months ago, and it was in San Bernardino. And the city of San Bernardino denied them the license for public consumption at an event such as this.
Oh, no.
Yeah, dude. So it was a dry cup. Wow, that just sounds bad in every way.
How do you do that?
I have no idea.
I mean, there's like, you got to test things, right?
You do. I mean, how do they even judge? That is
maybe
really
they like
good
took
point.
Them off site, tested them, and came back and said
they must have had to like drive home or go to the hotel where you can't smoke too. Right?
That's interesting.
Yeah. So there was no impact like that here at this show that I just went to this last weekend, just a couple of days ago. But the side effect of recreational is that it was a very small cannabis cup. And it was very small in the sense there were very few number of exhibitors. I downloaded an app and a map for the Cannabis Cup, right? And it had the Sonoma County Fairgrounds laid out. And the three areas, there were supposed to be three areas. One indoor, maybe two indoor, and then the outdoors. And there was another one. I don't know. But there was only one outdoor area.
Oh, wow. At all. That's just
at
it.
All.
That's
yeah. it. The only thing inside was a beer garden where you go get beer. I don't drink beer. I didn't go inside. But the number of exhibitors has apparently gotten much smaller than the last High Times Cannabis Cup that was here, and certainly much smaller than the last Emerald Cup, which drew 10 times the people, I was told.
Oh, yeah, it was huge. There was a lot of big names, too.
Yeah, and you couldn't move around. You know what I mean? It was very crowded, from what I understand. But the reason there weren't a lot of big names, and there were a few, there were some really cool exhibitors there, at the one I went to here in Santa Rosa, is because California's been very slow, and especially Sonoma County, in giving out permits to businesses, to pot businesses, to cannabis businesses. So many of them are unlicensed and therefore cannot participate in such a show.
So there's just less.
Which is a drag. I would say there was maybe, I'm so bad at estimating the number of anything. Let me think for a minute. 2, 5, 10. There was probably between 70 and 100 exhibitors.
Wow.
And that's about it.
Well, okay. Well, so what kind of exhibits were there? Because I can, off the top of my head, list what was at the Emerald Cup, like the different types of stuff there.
But what'd you see there? I'm so curious. Please tell.
So they had the whole indoor area open, and it's huge, right?
Yeah.
And that was just one of them. That was just one of the indoor areas. They had a whole other indoor area where the music was, and there were booths in there too. But it was mostly like art and stuff. But over in the main like hall where all the booths were, was like at least 400 booths. And there were people with like furniture, with Haida drawers, you know. And like,
oh, wow.
There was like, you know, like all kinds of cool exotic like plants, you know, like things you could buy. Not just weed related stuff. And there were like weed brokers. There were people that, you know, like there were dudes in suits that were like, we'll buy your excess, you know. Like, and there was like, there was people selling this mushroom tea stuff that was like not psychedelic, but like medicinal. There was all kinds of like little crafty things made out of hemp. There was like a woman who wrote a book about trimming, like all about trimming, and she was like selling that. And there was like just all this related stuff that had to do with the culture. There was tons of art, tons of, you know, musicians and stuff. And they had like one outdoor band, and then they had one inside stage, I mean. And then they had the whole 420 section, the whole 215 section, which was just like, it was kind of roped off, fenced in, but you know, you can go get dabs, you could try stuff, and it was like all these sample things, you just sample everything, you know, and all that, like the actual product was in there, you know, but like all the other vendors were just like all this little, you know, jewelry and this and that, just tons of weed related stuff, which is really cool. You could look at stuff all day long.
Right on. So like pretty much, and I just realized my shirt's on backward. That's why you saw that look of dismay on my face. What am I going to do now?
Nothing. You'll have to rewind, folks.
I could fix it. But while we do that, so the only thing that was like ancillary, right, or tertiary to weed, right? No, I'm not. I'm stuck.
Classic was, moment.
You know,
those listening will have to go check out our YouTube channel.
They will have to check out the YouTube because you can't see that on the radio. Wow, not that anyone wants to. But so like one thing I saw that was really cool, and I've seen these around, I've seen them on Amazon, and they're not cheap, are these little bags or like padded bags. You know, I don't have anything like it here. But they're padded bags and they have a lock on them and they are smell proof.
Oh, wow.
And they make them so you can carry like an ounce, so you can carry 2 ounces, 5 ounces. Yeah, dude, like a combination lock. Wait, like boom, boom, boom.
Why couldn't you just like scissor right into
them? You know, I was thinking of that on the way home, honestly. You could cut through them. But the idea is, it's, you know, maybe you got roommates and you don't want them in your stash thing. And obviously someone will have cut through your bag if your roommates do that. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's just, it's a little added layer of security.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're going to have to make somebody destroy it to get in there. Now, the cops would do it, but this is something you could stash, and it's dog tested, apparently. Yeah. That's what the people there told me. They're
canine tested. You could bury it. You could put it and make a treasure map.
You could. And no one's going to sniff it out. But those are cool. They start at like $40 and they have the lock and it's compliant with transport here in California.
Yeah.
Because there's guidelines for transporting. You know, you can't just have a baggie.
You know, no children can get to
it. Dude, if any children get near my weed, I'm definitely grounding them and sending them to boarding school because I don't have kids. Why do we have to make our laws like for the kids, the lowest common denominator? I don't want to live in that world where laws are made for children. I'm an adult. Anyway, I digress. But so there was that booth. There was a booth that had spray to get rid of smells. You know what I mean? But it was active enzymes and ions and some other stuff. No perfume, no cover up. It actually eats the smell away. Just
kills the odor.
Nice. Yeah.
So they engineered cool. Something fabulous.
Yeah.
How about any like new kind of like trim products? Did you see any like new types of bins or anything like that?
No, not a one. Mm. And let me tell you something I caught on to really early, because I walked through the exhibit. I was carrying this phone right here, my trusty Galaxy S7, and I shot 29 minutes of beautiful video, which got corrupted, and it's dead now. I have tried to restore the MP4. I have tried to restore the deleted file, because it says it's not working.
Wow.
So, that footage lost forever. Thank you so much, Samsung. You'll be catching my lawsuit in the mail soon. Check your mailbox. Yeah, you bastards. But as I was doing that, I noticed that the booths that had dabs and flowers and pot-related stuff, right? You know, like plants sitting there. A couple of booths that had actually plants and teenagers you could buy, though I heard they had spider mites. That's what somebody told me. All those booths had, there were not a lot of people there when I first got there around noon. And all the booths had like, you know, 2 to 10 people standing at them checking out the exhibits, right? Except for the like 4 booths that were seed suppliers. Those booths, those exhibitors had no one. It's like, ain't no one got time for seeds. Well, where do you think these buds come from, kids? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it is kind of like late in the season already. Like those people already have stuff in the ground.
It kind of is, yeah.
That's they bought true. Their seeds this winter, like it's
but indoor all year long, bro. You know,
that's true.
The fact that legal recreational is here and that we can grow up to 6 plants, anybody who lives in California, and more if you have a med rec, that should tell you that people are they should be growing. Everybody should, and I know I'm not, but that's you know,
it's just convenient. A visitor. You know, Americans, we like it to go buy it from the store and just not have to deal with it.
Okay, but it's also expensive. You know what's really convenient is you buy some teenage plants that are already sexed, so you don't have to go through that. Throw them out in your backyard like a friend of mine, Mike. You know Mike from Meerkat. He's got 3 plants in his backyard, 6, I don't know. And he moves them to the garage at night to give them dark. And he's going to have a really nice harvest here in about another month or two. You know what I mean? Really, that's where he's at. That's
pretty easy, you know.
And then how easy is it to get weed? Oh, let me go to the drawer full of my weed that I grew and that is just beautiful. And you know what's been put into the plant.
Well, you know maybe that's awesome. What's happening. Maybe that's the process that's happening right now. Everyone's switching over to just growing it. Hey, I can grow it. I'm just going to grow it myself.
I know he's the one person out of 100 people I know here in California who weren't before recreational kicked in and now are.
Yeah.
Because he actually had a med rec. He could have been doing it for the last umpteen years, you know, 21 years before that, if he had a med rec that long. Yeah. But I just couldn't believe the lack of people at those booths, because I stood and talked to the seed guys, man. You know, sad. I don't know about seeds. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
But the first booth I got to was the NUG booth. NUG and...
Wait, NUG.net? Wait,
nope. No. These folks NUG. Here. Oh. NUG. They make cannabis products. And, for instance, this Anytime hybrid headband.
Anytime. Shatter.
Yeah. Bull crap. That's a misnomer. Anytime you want to fall asleep 10 minutes after you effing hit that, because that's going to knock you out. And then if that weren't bad enough, I got the actual knock you out stuff. The nighttime indica.
Oh, it straight says nighttime on it.
White Buffalo OG. And let me tell you, that Schlitz works. I tried it out last night, and holy Toledo, there's still some in this very bowl right here, and it's stunted my growth today.
Hey, let's smoke together.
Let's do it. Let's Why do not? It.
Cheers.
But I did get those. I got 2 grams of shatter for $30 out of the thing. That's $15 a gram. You can't beat that.
That's a deal. Wow. So that really just sets, I mean, it tells you the tone of the market for sure.
But then you had other exhibitors who were still, you know, the special was maybe $25 eighths, which means $50 quarters, $200 ounces. But for the most part, a lot of people were out there showing their price list, and it's $100 a quarter, $400 an ounce.
Yeah.
The dispensaries and the retail outlets are not coming off that price. The growers are getting incredibly substantially less than that. There is a huge disconnect. The grower gets this, the dispensary gets that. And that's a pretty accurate graph right there. Huh. You know?
Did you see like, wow. Yeah.
Well, the one thing I noticed,
pictured it.
Yeah. Well, at the NUG booth, when I walked up, there was a line to do dabs. And they were so cool. They had little rip them open alcohol swabs like the doctor uses before they give you a shot. So you can clean down the dab rig.
Uh-huh.
You're not, you know, I mean, to a point. I mean, I coughed into that thing. I didn't like blow it out, but I coughed. And like, I'm sure other people did.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably why I have this herpes now. But it's still undiagnosed. So I'm sure I'm fine.
I think we could scrub that off.
No, dude, it's just that 48-hour herpes. It's been going around. It's been going around.
The go around.
Yeah. But so free dabs, dude. Just which kind do you want? They had 4 different things sitting there. Wow. You know what I mean? You can, you know, I had some. What did I have? The something Jack. It was Jack. It was Jack.
Jack, Jack, Jack.
Yeah. And it was really good. That was the first thing I did there. And then I go around to all the other booths that had dabs, and it was like dollar dabs. And they're like, we have to because the law. And I'm like, well, they don't. Like, why do you?
Well, you did get there early. Maybe that you were like kind of snuck
all day long at NUG. It was free.
Interesting.
I went back 3 times because Teresa came later. We went back together and we went back again.
Well, maybe they found a loophole where they were like, well, if we pay for it, then, you know.
That would be cool. And if they did that, that was very nice.
Like they just, they paid for it. Like it was paid, purchased, and it was like their expense for the festival. That would have made sense.
And so I did the dab, and somebody said, you got to go see this guy over here when you're done. And I was like, okay. And I'm like, blah, 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 you know, for 10 minutes. And then I'm like, hey, the guy there said, after I do the dab, I got to come see you, man. And he was like showing me a bunch of stuff, and it was cool. And we talked and we got to be friends. And I gave him a card, and he said, all my cards are in the car. I said, well, I'll be back anyway, but if you get your cards, great. If not, just write it down for me. And I had to go back and get his number. Well, Teresa came, and we sat down for a while because it was so hot in the middle of the afternoon, 3-4 o'clock. It was just devastating. It was like a hard 95 with just nothing but direct sun, not one cloud in the sky. Whoa. Not even, I couldn't even count on our government to spray chemtrails. It was a no spray day. I couldn't even get solar radiation management on my side.
Wait, and what's doing today? Is it nice and cool?
No, but it's cooler. It's going to be like 87 or something like that. It's a lot better today. Yeah. It was bad Sunday too, which was the only thing that made me not feel so bad about not being there. But yeah. So we're sitting there, and all these guys from NUG, they all have the shirts, you know, with the logo, this N, which if you, where is that N? There it is. N. If you look at it like that, it's like ZZ Top. I'm just saying. But so anyway, they're all walking with their NUG shirts and their NUG hats. And I must have seen 40 NUG employees. Like they had a huge, they had one of those half pipe things and dudes were skateboarding.
Oh, I saw that guy.
Right. Okay.
He had an arm mechanical arm. Dude,
I'm like an idiot. I go up to this guy. I'm like, that's, I'm so stoned. And I'm like, that's the coolest. You have a bionic arm, man. He's like, yeah, pretty much. I shattered it in five places. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I thought you just, I didn't know, you know, I wasn't making fun of him, but I kind of felt like I was, you know what I mean? I felt really bad instantly. I don't know. I defeated feelings of guilt, but yeah. So, I mean, they had a huge exhibit and my guy wasn't going by because I saw him get a pizza, but I eventually went back, got his number. He's cool. We're going to talk. And I met Uncle Dave too.
Uncle Dave.
Uncle Dave is awesome. Where the hell? Okay, there. I can just cover that up. Uncle Dave, everybody. Uncle Dave, the storyteller. It'll come into focus. Uncle Dave.
Nice. Uncle Dave.
Yeah.
Is he going to tell you some stories?
Yeah. In fact, I just called him just to say, hey, like right before we got started, and he put me on his radio show, dude. I was like, what?
Wait, is that recorded? Are we going to be able to hear that somewhere?
I think it was live, and I think he broadcasts on, let's see if I can get this right. Oh, Schlitz. www.kows.fm.
Wow.
That's kows.fm. Everybody tune in. So next Tuesday, I'm going to go, and they have a, from 2 to 3, they get a grower in, and he brings some stuff, and they check it out and talk about it. How'd you grow it? What'd you use? Fertilizer, no fertilizer, indoor, outdoor, and test. Uh-huh. And so I'm definitely going next week. That sounds right up my alley. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Anyway, I digress. But I met him kind of early on, too, so that was fun. He was really cool, man. We hung out for a while. I pulled a joint out because I got this chocolate OG because I followed one of the booths' Instagram. So they give you a pre-roll, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so we smoked it. And then he's like, you want to smoke one of mine? I'm like, sure. So he literally, whoosh, out comes the joint. He has a dozen joints in his beard, dude.
Nice. Does he have a little seriously. Sack in there or is it just thick enough to
wear? No, dude. It's like mine.
If I lose one, whatever, I just stick extras in there.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. And I mean, he said if your beard hair is curly enough, and I believe mine is, but if you kind of wrap it in there, you know what I mean? Just kind of zigzag it as you put it in, it ain't going anywhere.
And you couldn't tell, though. You didn't see any poking out.
I couldn't tell a thing, man. I was like, that is genius. It's the greatest thing ever.
He's like, hold on, I got something here.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody asks what I keep in my beard, and other than the family of squirrels, nothing, you know.
So that they were just a little soggy with neck sweat, but they were.
You know what? They weren't. That was not the one we smoked. Get it out for a minute, maybe dry it out. I don't know, but it was
hot out. I don't know,
and it was really good. It was hot out. Oh my God! Dude, so I wanted to go back to the Nug booth, and they had 80 milligram chocolate bars for $5.
Holy crap!
That is good.
Wait, and then, did you go back and get one?
I went back, but they were already closed down, dude. The thing was supposed to run until 11.
On all over the place, man.
Oh yeah, and dude. Oh my God. First of all, it never would have gotten out of there alive. But like, we found some gummies that were $15 for 280 milligrams.
That seems pretty strong. I thought you couldn't sell them that strong.
Well, no. Each one's probably 15 or 20, and you can't, but they had them there. You can't buy a package of 280 milligrams. Can't be any more than 100.
So there was some pluses to being there, I guess.
Oh, yeah, like yeah, yeah.
There were extra something-somethings
unregulated. Yeah, things that you can't do anymore because of recreational, they were still doing, and I appreciated that. You know,
well, that's cool. Well, how did the music go? Did they have music all day?
They had music from starting about 2 or 2:30, I want to say, and it was a band called ALO.
Oh, ALO, yeah,
yeah. Okay, I am not familiar with them, but I am a little bit now.
They're a jam band from the back in the day.
Yeah, and Teresa knew them, and then they had G Love and Special Sauce.
Oh, nice. Did they do I Like Cold Beverages?
Yes, they did. And after that, of course, taking the stage supposedly at what time was he supposed to go on? I think he was supposed to go on at 8, and then he went on at 8:30 in true Grateful Dead style, and that was Phil Lesh and friends.
Oh, nice. Who was on at 4:20 though? Was it G Love?
Yeah, G Love was on nice, then. Yeah, nice. Yeah. And you know what? They might actually had a break because they kind of congregated everybody, and hey, everybody, it's 4:20. There's still time to get pre rolls and blah 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 blah.
Were there any massive joints going around?
Okay, so I saw these big inflatable ones that were like taller than me that people were, you know, walking around with. So there's that. What I saw that was cool, you know, those the glass blunts that are about yay long.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they have that brass thing in the middle that you spin around and it ejects all your used stuff. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
They're kind of new. So, but they had one that was like that big. And dude, it would have held like, first of all, the thing had to weigh a lot because it was made of glass and brass, right? I didn't pick it up. But they were raffling it off, and I think I entered, but I didn't win Schlitz, you know.
It's not.
But yeah, and then supposedly on Sunday when they do the actual awarding, they were going to give the awards, and then everybody kind of stands around the podium, whatever, where they're doing it, and they're going to toss samples out to the crowd, and you catch them. And that was the deal. And that's how you get to sample the award-winning, you know, varieties out there.
That's the way you do it. You got to hang out to the end.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, just due to monetary reasons, I only went for one day. And due to my advanced age and my tertiary logistical state at the moment.
Did you get some kind of senior citizen weed?
I did. And you know what they do for the senior citizens? It's really cool. They take what's green and fresh and young, and they just age it real quick and make it brown. And then we old folks, we feel so good about things.
What, do they just vape it and then give it to the old people?
Yeah, dude. I'm like, hey, man, did somebody already eat this? What is
this? This is all brown.
Yeah, it's all chewed up, man. This stuff's had better days. But no, so there was that. But, you know.
So Phil and Friends.
Phil and Friends, they did about an hour. And it turned out to be like the second to last song. I went back to the exhibits and noticed they were just taking everything down. And that was at about 9:15, 9:20. And, you know, of course, on the website and everything, it said it ran until 11 o'clock. I would have done things very differently and done a second stream at like 5 o'clock had I known they weren't going till 11. I thought it was going to be a party all night, you know?
Wow.
And it kind of wasn't.
Stonerfest.
Yeah. It's kind of a drag, actually. I mean, because I was going one day and just the one day only, I would have appreciated knowing when it ended because I would have done things a little different.
Yeah. You know? I would have planned it out a little differently.
Yeah. Just spent a little more time in the exhibits.
Well, it sounds like it was good, but at the same time, it could have been so much more.
So from what I heard from people there, it was a shell of what it used to be again, because so many exhibitors couldn't exhibit because they don't have licenses yet.
Yeah.
So there's that. And there were a lot less people attending. I met some people in the parking lot. I parked. I was walking into the venue. I was across the street. While I was still in the parking lot, this couple came up in a convertible. And the guy said, "Excuse me, sir, could I ask you a question?" And I was like, "Yes, yes." And he said, "We were just wondering if you think there might be some cannabis available at the cup." And I said, "Well, sir, this is my first cup as well, and it seems like it's yours, but I have a pretty good feeling you're going to be able to find some buds there." Okay.
Yeah.
He wanted to get some buds. And he informed me that they had come in from New York specifically for the cannabis cup.
Huh.
He had never been here before.
Did you see them inside?
I did not. And I'll tell you what, after maybe this, see, I still have this cloudy, I know I did the one dab at Nugs, and then I don't remember if there was another dab, and I feel like there was, but then I feel like there wasn't, and it's all just a gray area to me.
This is, you have to go back and watch the replay.
right, but somewhere between the maybe fictional or real second dab and the very real first pre-roll, I don't think I would have remembered what they looked like, honestly, unless I saw them in their car.
Yeah.
I have
in their cars.
That disorder where I can only, like, so let's say I go to a restaurant, right? Yeah. And me and the ex-wife, we used to go with my dad every Monday night to the same restaurant. We always had the same waitress. Her name was M, but it wasn't M. It was Jen. My father was deaf and he thought her name was M. Okay. So we called her M for like 7 years.
Wow.
Right? But we saw her out on Fifth Street, downtown Dayton. One night, and she was like, "Hey guys," and we're both like, "Hi," and we know her, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I can't place her for the love of God. I cannot remember who this is. And she's like, "You guys don't remember me? I just saw you." We're like, "What?" And she's like, "Yeah, I just saw you Monday night," and then that clued me in. I was like, "Oh my God, it's you." But if she's not in that place,
she's not in her element, yeah,
and not in her uniform, which I'm used to seeing her in, I have a hard time recognizing people, man. It's like, it's like, what do you call it? It's seasonal co-location tertiary disorder,
probably something like that.
Yeah, I think it, I don't know, I think RJ Reynolds makes it,
maybe. It's something about the, you know, not being there in that space, something.
Yeah. And you know, if you're gonna wear a parka
or park it where outside,
park it or where. That's what I'm saying.
Joe Herrera.
So overall, the cup was really good. The downsides were it was a little smaller, but to me, I had nothing to compare it to until people started telling me, you know, hey, this is like, you know, this is nothing. But much fun, very good energy. There was a gaggle of policemen that I saw walking out.
Oh.
And I heard later,
maybe.
You what?
Were they gagging on something?
No, they weren't. They were fine. But they were leaving. There were like six cops. And apparently there was a tussle at a booth, like a visitor, like a not an exhibitor, but a visitor, somebody who was at the show, like went nuts. And the exhibitor like packed up their stuff and left. So I don't know. That doesn't really all make sense to me, but that's what I heard. I never heard maybe the real deal. Maybe
somebody got something stolen from them, or I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. Wow. Maybe they're like, hey, this, we were supposed to be inside. We don't want to be outside. You know what I mean?
Did you see any, like, did you see any, like, pre-roll packs? Like, cigarette packs of pre-rolls?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The California whatever ones and California Kush.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
No, there were lots of those. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. There was a couple of those guys last time. They were really cool. They gave, you could like raffle. They were raffling them off packs of them.
Yeah, I don't have it on me, and it's not in reach. But we each got a pre roll. Teresa got butter, the strain butter, BUDDER, and I don't remember what I got. I cannot remember the name of it.
Did you smoke it already?
Yeah, yeah. But it was not that good. The butter was delicious. And the beautiful thing was, and it was free. If you follow them on Instagram, they give you the pre-roll. It was a tiny ass little pre-roll, okay? But it wasn't like a swag pre-roll. Do you know what I mean?
Really
it wasn't
good.
Yeah, it wasn't a bunch of leaf and trim. It was like good bud, but it was a small amount. But boy, did it get us high, dude! That butter was spectacular. And they had a deal: their little joint cases. If you bring it back empty, they will give you $5 off of an eighth, which would make it a $20 eighth. So, but we didn't do that, and we should have, but we didn't.
What a deal.
Man, there were some really good deals out there, actually. Yeah, you know, getting 2 grams of shatter for $30, that's $15 a gram.
Did you,
shatter.
Damn. Did you see anybody making, like, medical salves or any kind of, like, oils or any... Was there any tinctures there?
There were lots of tinctures. There were lots of those products there. I didn't see anyone necessarily making them.
People that
I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah. I thought you meant actually making on the spot and showing people how you make them. No, there were tons of those products. There was one lady who had a booth. It was a salve mainly for her, but also could be for him. Have better orgasms. Seriously. THC salve for the sensitive areas.
What was it called? Vagibus?
Tick Vag. THC Vag. Where'd you get the Tick Vag, babe? I don't know.
I've seen advertisements for that and like, you know, that.
But I stopped and talked to her. I was unfortunately not streaming at the time.
Oh. Have you ever, you know that one magazine that comes out during trimming season?
Hustler?
No. It's a trimmer magazine.
Playboy?
No, not that one. It's like a dude's name.
Oh, Penthouse. They trim everything in Penthouse.
It's like a guy's name. I can't remember.
They just use bald chicks, man. You wouldn't even find hair on their heads. The what? I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. It's popular. You see it all over California and Oregon. It's like somebody's name. But anyways, I saw a big old full-page advertisement for that stuff. It was like...
Oh, wow.
Vagibus or something.
Well, you know, if you stop and think about it, and this is what our conversation started out with, me really uncomfortable and her using a lot of frank sexual terms.
She's just like,
And me getting more uncomfortable, you know. Well, it just becomes engorged, she said. And I'm like, oh my God, stop. But, you know, have you ever had sex on weed?
Yeah.
It's a little better, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got a few more dimensions. I mean, it just kind of makes everything better. I have not had sex on weed for a long time, so I don't even know what it's like.
I was just going to say that. I don't think I know what it's like not.
There you go. So with that in mind, wouldn't it seem that a salve of the active ingredients of that stuff that already makes it better applied directly to the regions that are affected by sex, wouldn't it stand to reason it would make it a little better? I mean, I don't think it's nonsense. Well, so,
you know.
I am ordering a vagina. From Amazon.
Nice work if you can get it.
Yeah, I'm ordering a vagina from Amazon.
Get it if you try. Well, you can get it on Amazon. That dude's bionic arm, he got that on Amazon.
I know. And then he kind of like he did it himself. He did something to it himself. He aftermarketed it, which is really cool, man.
Oh, he modified it.
He did some modifications.
Oh, he had stickers on it. His sponsors stickers.
Yeah, and it looked like Nug was like the manufacturer, the way it was written on there. You know what I mean? The sticker. Because it was cool.
All right. But anyway, So what else? Who played with Phil? Who was playing with him?
Who was there? It was, let's see. Well, it was Graham, his son. And then the dude on lead vocals and is that Barry Sless, maybe? It might have been Barry Sless. I could be totally wrong. No, it's a different name. Shit, what's the guy's name? Can't think of it. And I have no idea who the female was. And no idea who played drums. So this is not... All I know really for sure is who played bass. And that was
you Uncle called Bill. Yourself a... Well, you're... Great
dude, I call myself a dude that was in a 95 degree direct sunlight field all day.
Man, who and then, is that up there? Okay, I see yeah, Phil.
I was like, I hear Phil. Oh my God, somebody told me, my friend Jimmy, I just talked to him today, and he said somebody sent him a little post, whatever, a message, whatever. It says, keep your eye out for a video called Phil Lesh sings Eyes of the World. He's like, don't open it. Because it really is Phil Lesh singing Eyes of the World. That's made me laugh. I love Phil. I listen to Phil sing all day, man. I have no problem with his singing, yeah. Honestly.
Just you know, they the fuck's afraid.
They let John Mayer sing, so what are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? Whoa, ding dong. Yeah.
Well, you know, he is John Lennon Mayer.
Right. John Lennon Jingleheimer Mayer. This was just given to me.
Whoa. That,
it as
looks,
a sample.
It looks like... it's got tie-dye going through it.
So, oh, does it really? Oh, it looks, shit. I forgot about that.
It looks like Lucky Charms.
Very good. Yeah, I bet. It is actually strawberry banana, which is one of my... No, we had honey banana. I got to look up strawberry banana.
Honey shoot, banana.
Yeah.
Nice. Is that from the cup?
No. But it luckily is in a cup.
Oh, nice. If it was in a Dixie cup, it'd be better.
So I know. So technically, you could say it won a cup because that's what's
happening. Wait, did you hear who won the cup?
I have no idea.
You have no idea? No. Did you even see the on display, like the was there a display with all the entries?
Not that I saw, no.
Wait, they didn't have that?
No. No, what they had at each booth was this is what we've entered into the cup. And they would show you, like, at each individual booth. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's what I saw. So
at the Emerald Cup, they had like a huge section inside that was just like a weed museum. It was like a
circle, oh wow!
It was like a half circle of glass cases, and then a giant like domed glass case in the middle. And it was all the entries around the edge, and then that middle dome was like the winners of last year and like the high entries of that year. Like, and they were all like you could see the different hashes, and there was like microscopes in front of it, and I mean magnifying glass. Glasses like set in front of them and stuff, and you couldn't touch it, but you could walk around and get really good views. You had lights everywhere, and
we didn't have that, or if we did, I didn't see it.
It was like a freaking museum,
a freaking museum. Well,
you know, and that one is like in the fall. It's in harvest. You know, it's in December, so like everyone's harvested. It's all over
for right
year, so it's like the prime time. Everyone's done. They're all going to the Emerald Cup.
I dig that.
You know, like right now is kind of like a.
It's an odd time.
Yeah.
You're dealing with old outdoor or new indoor.
Yeah. You know? This is them just trying to have an off-season festival.
Yeah. Wow. I found the strawberry banana.
Oh.
Highlights. Strawberry banana is 7030 indica dominant cannabis strain developed by DNA Genetics in collaboration with Sirius Seeds. Genetic cross between Crockett's Banana Kush and the strawberry phenotype of Bubblegum. Strawberry banana inherits sweet, fruity flavor that's earned this hybrid her name. Known for heavy resin production and high THC content, strawberry banana produces a happy, peaceful effect that sharpens creativity and sensory awareness. Ooh. Damn, son. Well, if I ever need those effects, I know where to go.
Can I have that?
Yeah, dude. I don't want any heightened sensory awareness. What do I look like? Somebody wants heightened sensory awareness?
Maybe if you like go outside or something.
Dude, I'm already too much of an empath.
Empath.
I put the M in empam.
Pamph.
Pamph.
Yeah, with your... Wait, what?
What? Look, it's headband. Here, this will look like tie-dye too, won't it? This is headband.
Oh, that looks good. It's all tight.
Fresh from the farm. Oh, it's nice. It's dude, and this stuff, you know, shit, I've had it like 6 months now. It's so, you just deal with it for 2 seconds and you're so sticky. So sticky.
Wow, it's still that sticky.
Oh, yeah. It is the sticky, stickiest of all I've got. Purple is a close second, but it's the stickiest. Yeah. Sticky, it's just got that smell, that taste.
So you've been to events, you've been to shows, you've been to a Phil and Friends before, you've been to other cannabis events, right? Maybe?
Like dead shows.
Yeah, kind of. So what would you rate this on a 5-star, like an app rating? 5 stars. What would you rate that
event? Oh, for me, I'm going to give it 5 stars, dude, because nice. It was totally fun. I mean, it was totally fun. It was a great experience. Come on. The last cannabis event I went to was a demonstration at Courthouse Square in Dayton, Ohio, where we all went and had a smoke-in in about 1988 for the legalization of marijuana.
Did anybody get arrested?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely they did. I didn't, but I smoked there. And boy, did I feel like for me, that was a person. Yeah, exactly. That was like a personal goal. That was like fun. That was like the sneaky.
We did it
right here at the fountain. We're smoking a joint.
I'm like, I was there.
Yeah, it was nerve wracking, but you know, it was a rally for legalization. Normal was there and you know, all that kind of stuff. But that was back in like 1988. And I guess in 1998, I did the Freedom Fest, which was like a festival, bunch of bands. Freedom. Hey man, turn it up. Freedom Fest.
Freedom Fest, man.
And that was, you know, legalized oriented, right?
Wow. All right. But so Ohio.
It's been 20 years though. 20 and 30 years ago, you know? Weird. But other than that, I've never been to something where, like, other than a dispensary or the cannabis museum that's right by Oaksterdam University in Oakland. That's a cool place. It's nice. Just cannabis exhibits, you know. Oh, it's pretty nice. Cool. Yeah. But other than that, no, I've not been to anything like that.
So being a boy from Ohio, and, you know, boy. Being in a place that was so stricken with the strictness, and now you're the West Coast, you went to a cannabis festival cup, and you're like, whoa, everything is just, did you ever imagine in your lifetime you'd be walking through booths and just buying, trying, sampling, smelling?
No, not really. And I say that, but these shows have been going on for a long time. Like, I heard about the Cannabis Cup in Amsterdam like 30 years ago, yeah. Right? But I never thought, like, first of all, I never knew just anybody could go. You just buy a ticket. I didn't know it was that kind of thing. And secondly, I didn't think I'd ever be going to one because I'm never going to Amsterdam, more than likely.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it was going to happen here. But I'll tell you, this is my evolution, man. I left. So, like, okay, let's go back a little ways. Back in 96 or 97, a friend of mine who lived in California and Arizona came out to Dayton, and he was there for a while, and he kept telling me about legal medical in California. I'm like, shut up. Nah. Everybody would just go there and just feign illness, you know? I'm like, no, they don't have
it. People did go there and feign illness. Well, you're froze.
This type took 2 years till I believed him. And of course, yeah, it was real. It was the real deal, man. So that's how I started looking at legal. It didn't seem real to me. And then, you know, fast forward, whatever, Ohio, 3-4 years ago, I had to vote no to legal medical and recreational because it was such a bad deal the way they wanted to do it. It was so bad that I had to vote no, and it crushed me, right? And then the next year, legislation passes medical, but I know it's going to take years and it's going to be shitty. All you can do is vape. There's no flowers. You can't smoke. You can do vape and edible. That's it.
Wow.
In Ohio. And it won't be till after September now. Just new article came out today. They are still behind. It was going to be July. Now it's September.
Oh,
and
wow.
They won't be. In fact, it said they won't be ready by the September 8th date
that they
postponed it to. It's horrible there. So I came out here. And when I got here, dude, I went up to, well, first I went to Oakland and it's the first Friday festival, and it's the streets are blocked off, and it's exhibits, and it's art, and it's music, and food, and it's two cops standing there talking, and two guys walk by, pass each other the joint right in front of them, exhale in their face, and they just keep talking. They don't care. It's legal. Oakland is like the most legal place on earth, I am convinced, for cannabis. And so that was my first exposure. And then going up to the mountain and trimming, but then coming to Santa Rosa, where I didn't have a car, I was kind of left for dead at a motel for 2 weeks, and I'm walking everywhere, and just like every third car I pass, they're smoking a joint. You just smell it. You know what I mean? You're just smoking a joint. And it's everywhere, you know? And I was shell-shocked, right? And right after I got here, they voted in legal recreational, and it took a year to pass. So even during that, and then I got my med rec, you know, like in January of that first year, me being here.
Yeah.
And that was like a spectacular thing. And to go to
technical difficulties. He'll be back in a second. Possibly. It's freezing up.
All that weed, and there's 400 different kinds of weed. But what you really smell is all that weed together. to make its own aggregate smell. One combined, here's 400 strains put together, and here's what they smell like. And that is effing amazing. Because wow. I go to my guy in Ohio, and he had three or four different kinds, but it weren't like a dispensary with 400 different strains.
A conglomerate smell.
Yeah, just all of them together. The totality of all those different strains of cannabis put in the same building, you know? And it's beautiful. So I geeked out on all that and just having a med rec and being legal, and it was awesome.
Yeah, that feeling of like not having to worry because, you know, it's just it's,
the paranoia is gone, dude. You know, you're not worried about that. If you're paranoid about something, it ain't that here in California. There's something else going on, you know. But so then legal recreational passes January of this year, and a little bit of the romance died, dude. Not gonna lie.
Why is that?
You know, because everything got totally regulated. Instead of me being able to have my med rec and walk down the street and use my medicine, or be in my car and use my medicine, now it's a public intoxication $70 ticket, and now it's a DUI if you're driving. After 21 years, it suddenly became a great danger to use your cannabis medication.
Wait, so is there a test now? Are they like testing people for being high?
No, you know what they're doing? It's way more sinister than that, my friend.
What is it? What?
They are educating policemen on how to be doctors and determine if they see the signs of somebody under impairment. And if they do, write them up.
What are the signs? What the heck? Oh, man. That's crazy.
Coming out, what's that kid? The Israelis are making them like they're going out of style. They've got like 10 different kits they're making. They love it for some reason.
Wait, kits? What kind of kits? Oh, Andrew's breaking up. We'll get him back here in just a second. Hey, man, you're breaking up, man. Frozen in time. Oh, man, what happened?
I don't know. I was in there talking for like 10 minutes, and I'm like, V, are you still there?
No, you kept cutting out.
Did I?
Yeah.
You're fine on my end.
Yeah, you were cutting out there a bunch. I heard something about Israelis, and then there was...
Yeah. Well, okay, so the answer to your question is, worse than actually having a test, they have trained police officers to think they're medical professionals and evaluate whether they seem impaired to you, whether you show signs of impairment.
Oh.
So there are tests on the market. I know that Los Angeles County was testing out a couple of different of alternatives, most of which I think are coming. There's some American companies too, but Israel is all over testing. They're all over testing your flower, making machinery and scientific goods to do that.
Really?
To test your potency and your cleanliness as far as pesticides and mold goes, but also to test people to see if they find these little molecules inside the person. So they seem to be taking this very seriously, and they kind of lead the industry. Yeah. But there is no real test, no definitive test. It's just left up to the California Highway Patrol and local municipalities, which I find very scary.
So are there a lot more, are you noticing or hearing about a lot more arrests or anything or tickets?
No, but I hear commercials on California radio that goes something like this. So weed's legal in California, but driving on it isn't. Hi, I'm whatever his name is, and I want you to shut propaganda. The F up.
That's just
No. I'm your lawyer. You shut up. You call me. I'll get you out of your pot.
Yeah, but that's just a lawyer making some shit up.
Oh no, dude! Like it's a real deal, dude. So like December 31st, New Year's Eve,
Let's call that guy.
I'm telling you, every news, local news in the Bay Area, at least that's all I see. In California, I'm willing to say the news story was starting tomorrow. You get pulled over. We're smoking a joint and it's a DUI, and I'm telling you it wasn't on New Year's Eve.
Yeah,
but New Year's Day, yes. Wow. And it's a California propaganda thing. They're doing it. That's how they're going to make their money. They're not going to jail us anymore, but we're going to spend $15,000 on average.
You know, I think it pretty much, you know, it creates the situation though, because look, now all these stoners have no paranoia because they're like, oh, weed's legal. We got to reinstill some paranoia. So let's put out all these lawyer commercials.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and but the lawyers are like, sure, yeah, we'll do it.
There was 2.1 decades, 21 years of medical where you could legally use your medicine in your car. You get pulled over. Hey, I smell some cannabis. Hey, guess what? Here's my med rec. As you were, And that's the end of that. Yeah. But now, no. Now,
even if you have a medical, it's...
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. You could stand on the street corner and puff. Now it's just like having a beer out on the street corner. It's $70 ticket.
Wow.
For your first offense.
See you later.
Do you know anything in Oregon? Is it the same?
That I don't know. What is it like there?
It doesn't seem to be that way.
Like that then.
I mean, I haven't noticed and I haven't talked to anybody officially about it, but like, it's pretty relaxed here.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like that.
You know, and there's a ton of dispensaries in my county alone. Like, it used to not be legal in the state, in the city that I'm in, just right outside of it, it was, like, to have a dispensary. And so was this one highway, stretch of the 99, just outside of Medford, that had, like 10 or 11 just dispensaries, one right after the next, on one strip of highway, like this side, this side, this side. And then now they just let it go in the city. So like this year, like 20 more have popped up within the city limits. Yeah. So it's just like this ridiculous amount. Like dispensaries are buying, like farms are just, farms are buying up dispensaries. Right. And then the farms are buying old banks that went out of business and filling them up with money. Like, there's just so much money in it now. And like, you went to the Cannabis Cup and you saw those dudes with the big machines, right? Those big distillers or whatever they were.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I've seen like room size ones here in Oregon, and people are just crazy, pumping out those pens like it's no tomorrow. Those pens are just going bah, 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 bah.
Yep.
Like 5 months ago or a year ago, they were like $60 for a full whatever gram or gram and a half, 2 grams or whatever it is. Now you're getting like $30 for like almost two grams or whatever it is of the oil. Like, it's just ridiculous. It's just going down, 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 and it's out there. Everyone's got
and
it. You know?
Unfortunately, and I just heard a national talk show guy talking about this yesterday, Oregon, not all those dispensaries are going to survive.
Well, yeah.
Because
a lot of them are like little holes in the wall. They're like nothing.
Yeah.
Know? Low overhead. They're like old gas stations or old buildings that just run down and they like redo
it. So here they had delivery services. Like, I could have just started a delivery service, dude. I don't need a building, whatever. Now you do, because of recreational. Everything's changed.
Oh, you can't do the delivery anymore.
No, you have to have a brick and mortar to at least store your goods securely is the idea. But there are still plenty of deliveries. Don't get me wrong. And dispensaries deliver. Most of the dispensaries here have started their own grow operations. So that will further put traditional farmers, out of business, because there's nobody to buy their stuff legally. You know what I mean?
You know, like, it's pretty... The farmers are cool. Like, it's a lot of cool dudes that wanted to learn how to, like, grow. And some of them get it right down and stick with it, their 10, 20 years. Some of them just do it to try to get rich quick, kind of thing.
Yep.
You know, and they don't know what they're doing. Or they might know what they're doing, but they just half-ass it. I don't know. That's just the way I call it. It's what I see. And so they're half-assing it. Mold gets in there. Whatever gets in there.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, this is bad. Let's just blow it all out. Make dabs. Like, someone will buy that. Like, this just half-assing, like, the whole production of it. So, in a way, to me, I kind of see it eliminating those people. Like, those people will drop off because it'll be too hard. And then, so maybe, like, the die-hard, like, real people that have their strains, you know, like, their shit. They've been working at this for, like, 20 years. Those people will survive.
There's a lot of those here in California that will not make it. They don't have the money to get licensed, and the licenses aren't being granted enough, man. Yeah. And if you get licensed and you grow a beautiful crop and you want to sell to a dispensary, but they're all growing their own and they don't buy it from you, who do you sell it to? Yeah, you can turn it to oil, but you're going to lose money.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing about oil. So when you convert it to oil like that, especially the oil pens, those machines, we'll get rid of all the mold. It obliterates it. So that's not really a problem.
Yeah.
But if there's any pesticide, so like when you get your flower tested, say you get this tested, there's acceptable limits.
Well, wait, back up for a second though. The mold in there, if you don't properly purge it, like that will still be in there. Like, do you know any process of like, I'm pretty sure that if you don't do your dabs right, if you don't make your dabs right, that mold will still be in there. And like,
from what I understand, the machine that they use to
the machine
obliterates
I'm just talking about butane blowing through a tube.
I guess I'm talking more about the CO2 oil. They use carbon dioxide instead of butane, and it's the viscous oil that you'd have in a pen versus like a concentrate. But here's the thing about these concentrates. Right. Okay. So let's, I don't know if this is BHO. I feel like it is because I know it's not rosin.
Yeah, butane is bad. Butane is bad.
It is. Oh, it is. But here's the thing about any which way you do it, even in the machine, if you're making it for the pen, right? Your mold gets obliterated, but there are legal limits on pesticides and other, you know, botrytis and all those types of things that you can get on your plants. And some of that will, the pesticides especially, will survive the oil process. And what happens is because you're concentrating it, it's no longer under the acceptable limit. In fact, it's concentrated just like your THC. Now, instead of 0.003 of whatever this pesticide is, you've got like 3.0 or 3.0. Yeah, just like you have 70% THC in your shatter. So that is an issue. Yeah. You know, that is an issue.
Well, you know, and well, I think it'll just, it'll turn it into more, it'll be more like, it'll be more of a niche, you know, it won't just people trying to get rich quick, or maybe it will. That's always going to be a thing. It's always going to be supply and demand somewhere. You know,
there's factors that go into this, and like California lifted their restriction. They have a restriction of acreage. So you can't have more than like 10,000 acres. And that's so that like RJ Reynolds or Monsanto can't come in here and get like 200,000 acres because they can afford it and put everybody else out of business by growing a bunch of shitty weed that's full of GMO and pesticides that will kill us all. And it's so cheap that it floods the market and that's all there is. So that's one thing. But they do have that acreage limit. But what they did was they lifted the limit on the number of permits you could buy that you could have, licenses. So that means you can have 10,000 acre farms, and then suddenly you have 150,000 acre farms are just not all contiguous.
So it's wherever the money is, whoever's got the money.
Yeah, and they've left a couple of loopholes that allow big corporation to come in here and fuck it up for the mom and pops that have been here for more than two decades, man, doing it right, you know.
Well, the only so in the foreseeable future, what do you, so you see all the mom and pops dropping off, but
not all.
Them, they're going to hold on to their seeds. They're going to grow personal crops. So those strains aren't going to die. Okay.
No,
so
they're not.
Then you got all these dudes with money taking over the scene, which is the dispensaries and the what you buy out there in the in the market and not the illegal market. And so there's going to be a black market of like specific strains, I think, that you're going to be like, oh, remember Blue Dream? You could only get that from the family now. Or like, you know, oh, all the Kush, all the Kush is the corporate now. You know, like it's going to, there's going to be maybe certain strains. So it'll be like strain wars, you know, like, so, so then, okay. So like, what do we see in the future? Right. Everybody, like the new weed revolution is grow your own, put out Monsanto, grow your own. So we're going to have to make stickers and say, grow your own again.
Grow your own. That's it. That's the answer to all of it.
Grow your own again.
You know, grow your own again and keep your seeds, man.
Yeah.
You know,
let's take weed out of the market. Let's take
the marketplace back. Let's put it back to barter.
Yeah. Hey, I got some of this that I grew. What'd you grow? Oh, look here. Let's trade.
And as far as I know, that's still legal in California.
Barter.
To barter. Or is it? I think you can't give it away now. You used to be able to, dude. It was cool here for 21 years. And see, Oregon's got this little thing where they lifted the clause where you had to have at least one majority shareholder in a company to get a license had to be a Oregon resident.
Oh.
Okay. So now there's a guy in Washington State who's moving into Oregon, who's moving into Canada, moving into California, moving into Nevada, and he wants to be the Starbucks of cannabis. What Starbucks did for coffee retailing.
So is he gonna open like little drive-thrus?
Yeah, and everything's going to be, I want that extra grande flipitande. It's going to be odd words, you know what I mean? It's
not mota. An eighth. Give me the grande mota.
Yeah. I want an eighth. No, we don't call it an eighth. We call it an eighta mota. Like, what?
Hey, give me a lid.
Yeah, give me a lid, dude.
I think that would be kind of fun. If there was something that was like, if there was something that was the Starbucks of weed.
Dude, why doesn't one dispensary bring back like lids and
give me a retro?
Yeah, totally, dude. You'd get all the older heads in there, you know.
Well, so in Washington and Oregon, they have all these fairs called barter fairs, and so there's barter fairs everywhere. And I know people just bring pounds of weed and trade it for all kinds of goods.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's how it should be.
Goods and trade it for weed, like
yep,
it's a thing.
Yep, but you know what happens when we go back to barter? guess who doesn't get their cut?
Oh, yeah, it's tax free. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, government. But, yeah, but are we not free to trade things?
They'll get it somewhere. There's
the land. They will.
They'll get it. There's a property tax, there's land, there's water.
Oh, yeah.
Like
barter, prison,
tourism, you know, there's, you know, those things bring tourism, you know, the local stores are getting, you know, we still buy shit.
Yeah. Right. I mean, shit.
We need ice and coffee, damn it.
Yeah. And sometimes I buy shattered, but not really the buds anymore, man. I got plenty.
You know, I firmly believe that if we all just followed our passion, the thing that we're good at, then we'd all have something to trade. You know,
wouldn't we though?
And we'd all we could just recognize that if everybody had their thing and recognize that somebody else was doing their thing, then we could evenly trade our energy, you know, our time.
What about the people who have no thing though?
We have Facebook. Everybody has a thing. Like everybody has a thing. Like Facebook is the perfect place to barter your stuff. This is the thing that I do. Yeah. You know, but everybody has a thing and they don't realize
it. Not ever. For like 30 years I didn't have a thing. I didn't have a thing.
Shut up. You have a thing.
No, I had no thing.
Yeah, but you entertain people. That's a
thing. No, I didn't. I did not. I didn't.
Well, you know, some people, I think in a world where more people looked for their thing.
That's the thing. But we all spend time going to school, get trained to do somebody else's thing for a little piece of their pie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you just have to figure out what your thing is. And it's usually the stuff you go after, the stuff you're interested, the types of movies you read, the types of books you watch.
Yes, exactly. You go, girl.
Woo, this is working.
I think for most people, it all comes down to a vitamin B12 deficiency, you know, or a little too much.
Pretty much. Or they need a little more colloidal silver in their life.
I feel colloidal. I feel sacrosanct. I feel tertiary.
Sanka.
I didn't even know we were sailing. All right, guys. Well, let us know what you think. We started out talking about the cannabis cup.
It was a good one.
We've either devolved or I say evolved into talking about the state of the cannabis market these days.
It's all about weed.
All about weed.
We'll just title this efficiently.
Yes, exactly. Efficient weed. Efficient weed. But let us know what it's like for you guys in your state. Leave us a comment here on the YouTube. Shoot us an email somewhere. Find us on the Facebooks and the Periscopes.
Don't forget to subscribe.
Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and go visit MichaelV.com. You will find art, animation, music, everything you want. All the Michael V you can handle.
And over there at AndrewShaman.com for your mugs and t-shirts and glass. Wisdom of the Glass Head.
Oh, yeah. You love that, don't you?
I just love the... Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the Wisdom of the Glass Head. It sure is, absolutely.
You guys, you don't even know. Jeez.
I love that.
All right. We'll see you all soon and next time here on the Shaman and Wizard Show. That was good, man. That was good.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.